There is a common dream among people who want more control over their food supply, walking into the backyard and gathering everything the family needs for dinner. It is a wonderful image, but for most households it is not a realistic goal. Completely replacing the grocery store with a home garden takes enormous space, time, and skill that few families have. The good news is that total self-sufficiency is not the point. The real goal is meaningful independence, which means growing enough of the right foods to noticeably reduce how much you rely on stores while enjoying fresher, healthier produce along the way. A thoughtfully planned garden can lower your grocery bill, improve your family's nutrition, and build valuable skills that matter during any kind of food shortage or systems failure. The trick is planning a garden that fits your family, not someone else's ideal. This article will walk you through how to size your garden to your household, choose crops that thrive in your climate, grow the foods your family actually enjoys eating, and get everyone involved in the process. Whether you are just getting started or looking to expand what you already have, the strategies here will help you build a garden that delivers real value for the people who will actually eat the harvest. Sizing your garden to your family. One of the biggest mistakes new gardeners make is starting too big. They picture rows of vegetables stretching across the yard, plant everything at once, and then feel overwhelmed by weeds, watering, and harvesting within a few weeks. A garden that is too large for your time and energy quickly becomes a source of stress instead of satisfaction. The smarter approach is to match your garden size to your family's real needs and your realistic level of commitment. Start by being honest about your goal. For most families, completely replacing grocery shopping is not practical. Growing all the grain, dairy, and protein a household eats would require acres of land and full-time labor. Instead, aim to reduce your dependency on the store for fresh produce. Even cutting your vegetable purchases in half is a major win that saves money and builds resilience against food shortages. General space guidelines. A helpful rule of thumb is to plan for roughly 150 to 200 square feet of garden space per person if you want to supply a significant portion of that person's vegetables during the growing season. For a family of four, that would mean somewhere between 600 and 800 square feet. That is a productive garden, but it is also a serious commitment. If that sounds like too much, it is. Beginners are better off starting small. A single raised bed measuring 4 feet by 8 feet, which is only 32 square feet, can produce a surprising amount of food when planted well. Starting with one or two beds lets you learn the basics of watering, pest control, and harvest timing without burning out. You can always add more space next season once you know what works. Factors that influence your garden scale. Several things affect how large your garden should be. The size of your family obviously matters, since more mouths mean more food. Your available space is another limit, whether you have a large rural property or a small suburban yard. Time is often the most overlooked factor. A garden needs consistent attention, especially during peak season, so be realistic about how many hours per week you can give it. The best strategy is to start with an achievable target and scale up over time. Begin with a size you can manage comfortably, master it, then expand each year. This steady growth builds confidence and skill while avoiding the discouragement that comes from taking on too much too soon. A small garden you actually tend beats a large one you abandon in July. Choosing crops for your climate. Even the most carefully planned garden will fail if you plant the wrong crops for your region. Nature sets the rules, and successful gardeners work with those rules rather than against them. Before you decide what to grow, spend a little time understanding the conditions in your specific area. This knowledge will save you countless hours of wasted effort and dramatically improve your yields. Know your zone and growing season. The first step is learning your USDA hardiness zone. This system divides the country into regions based on average low temperatures, and it tells you which plants can survive in your area. You can find your zone in seconds online by entering your zip code. Knowing your zone helps you choose crops and varieties suited to your climate. Just as important is understanding the length of your growing season, which is the number of frost-free days between spring and fall. A gardener in the far north might have only 90 growing days, while someone in the south may have 250 or more. Seed packets list the days to maturity for each crop, so you can match that number to your season and know whether a plant will finish before the first frost. Sunlight and soil. Most vegetables need at least 6 hours of direct sunlight per day, and many do best with 8 or more. Watch your yard throughout the day and note where the sun falls. Place your garden in the sunniest spot available. Soil quality also matters. Good soil is loose, rich in organic matter, and drains well. If your soil is poor, raised beds filled with quality compost and topsoil give you a reliable head start. Cool season versus warm season crops. Crops fall into two broad groups. Cool season vegetables like lettuce, spinach, peas, broccoli, kale, carrots, and radishes thrive in the milder temperatures of spring and fall. They can tolerate light frost and often bolt or turn bitter in summer heat. Warm season crops such as tomatoes, peppers, squash, beans, cucumbers, and corn need heat to produce and will not survive frost at all. Understanding these two groups lets you keep your garden working through most of the year. You can plant cool season crops early in spring, follow them with warm season crops in summer, then return to cool season plantings in fall. This method, called succession planting, means you plant new crops as others finish, keeping your beds productive and extending your harvest across many months. Matching crops to your climate and timing them well is the single best way to maximize the food your garden produces, growing what your family loves to eat. Here is a truth that many gardening guides forget to mention: the most productive garden in the world is worthless if no one wants to eat what it grows. Every year, well-meaning gardeners plant huge crops of vegetables that end up rotting on the vine or piling up on the counter because the family simply does not enjoy them. To build a garden that truly reduces your grocery dependency, you must grow the foods your household already loves. Audit your grocery habits. Start by paying attention to what your family actually buys and eats. Look at your grocery receipts and the produce in your refrigerator. Which vegetables show up week after week? Those are the crops that will give you the most value if you grow them yourself. If your family eats a salad most nights, lettuce and tomatoes belong in your garden. If pasta with fresh herbs is a favorite, then basil and other herbs are a smart choice. Balance high-value crops with everyday staples. A good garden plan mixes two kinds of crops. High-value crops are those that are expensive to buy or hard to find fresh, such as fresh herbs, cherry tomatoes, salad greens, and specialty peppers. These give you the biggest savings and the freshest flavor for the space they take. Staples are the vegetables your family eats regularly, like green beans, carrots, cucumbers, and onions. Growing both means you save money on the pricey items while steadily replacing the everyday items you always need. Winning over picky eaters. Gardening can work small miracles with picky eaters, especially children. Kids who refuse vegetables at the dinner table often become curious and willing when they help grow them. There is something powerful about pulling a carrot from the soil or picking a sun-warm tomato that you planted yourself. Let hesitant eaters choose one or two new vegetables to try growing. The pride of ownership frequently turns into a willingness to taste. Calculating how much to plant. Once you know what to grow, figure out how much. Think about how often your family eats each vegetable and roughly how much you use per meal. A family that eats fresh tomatoes several times a week might want 5 or 6 healthy tomato plants, while a single zucchini plant can easily overwhelm a small household. Seed packets and simple online charts offer plant-per-person estimates that help you avoid both shortages and waste. Planting the right amount keeps your harvest useful and prevents the frustration of too much food going bad, involving the whole family in the garden. A garden is far more rewarding when it becomes a shared family project rather than one person's chore. When everyone takes part, the work gets lighter, the bonds grow stronger, and children pick up skills that will serve them for life. Involving the whole family also connects everyone to where their food comes from, which is a valuable lesson in a world where food systems can fail and shortages can appear without warning. Age-appropriate roles. Every family member can contribute in a way that fits their age and abilities. Young children love hands-on tasks like digging holes, dropping seeds into the soil, watering plants with a small can, and hunting for ripe vegetables at harvest time. These jobs feel like play and build early enthusiasm. Older children and teens can handle more responsibility. They might manage watering schedules, pull weeds, build simple trellises, or track what is planted where. Giving teens real ownership over a section of the garden respects their growing independence and keeps them engaged. Adults typically handle the heavier work of preparing beds, planning layouts, and managing pests, while guiding the younger gardeners along the way. Assigning ownership and making IT fun. One of the best motivators is giving each person their own crop to care for. When a child is the official owner of the strawberry patch or a teen manages the pepper plants, they feel personally invested in the results. Harvesting can become a game with friendly competitions to see who can pick the most beans or find the biggest tomato. Small celebrations when the first fruit ripens keep excitement high throughout the season. Connecting the garden to the table. The most meaningful reward comes at mealtime. Let family members help cook dishes using what they grew, and point out at dinner which foods came from the garden. A child who grew the cucumbers in the salad will beam with pride and eat with more enthusiasm. This connection between garden and table teaches responsibility, patience, and the satisfaction of self-reliance. It also keeps everyone motivated through the summer, since the reward for their effort shows up right on their plate. A family that gardens together not only eats better but builds the practical skills and teamwork that make a household truly prepared. A home garden does not need to feed your family entirely to make a real difference. By sizing your garden to fit your household, choosing crops suited to your climate, growing the foods everyone loves, and involving each family member, you create a productive space that saves money and builds resilience. Start small, learn as you go, and expand with confidence each season. Every vegetable you grow is one less you depend on a store to provide, and that steady progress toward self-reliance is exactly what preparedness is all about. Plant with purpose, tend with care, and enjoy the harvest together.